Seated. I invite you to join me in prayer. May the words that I speak and on the reflections of our hearts be worthy of your grace, O God, in whom all honor and glory is given, now and forevermore. Amen. In the earlier service, and something's happened. Okay.
Takes a moment to transition.
Transition. This is tradition, not transition. In the early service, when somebody came in and they said, "Tradition, oh, are you going to sing from Fiddler on the Roof today?" And I said, "No, but there's an important point that Tevye brings up about tradition. Tradition. But his line right after is, the traditions are what keep us in balance. I want you to think about that during my message. Keeping us in balance is how much in today's life is really in balance. And I must say, I love traditions. I love traditions. I mean, if I asked you what's your favorite tradition and shouted out to me, what is your favorite tradition? Somebody said firecrackers. I hadn't thought about that. Coming to church, wonderful. Your birthday, wonderful tradition.
Decorating the tree.
Decorating the tree, right? What else might we think of with traditions? We have all sorts of traditions. I hope you have many family traditions as well, right? Maybe there's Sunday night family dinner. As I said, maybe my family just has to, we make it a point to get together because we're scattered in various places, that we make a point to make sure we come together for Christmas dinner. Maybe not on Christmas Day, but usually Boxing Day has always been our family gathering day. And Thanksgiving, another day that is very sacred to us. And July 1st is the birthday of my late father. We still gather to celebrate him. And Canada on July 1st. These traditions are part of us, aren't they? And I can think of one, several times I did this, and it became a tradition. Years ago, when I taught Sunday school, that's many years ago, just like Rhiannon is doing here today, and other people that have taught Sunday school, you introduce new traditions to our young. One of the ones that I did in order to get the point across about the parable of the lost sheep was to play hide and seek. Right? Go and hide. I'll count to 10. You run off. Pretend you're a sheep and get lost. Well, of course, all you'd hear as they were running to hide was, "Baa! Baa!" Made it easier for me to find the lost sheep. To get the point across, though, I would say, well, after a while of searching, I'd say, "Well, time's up. We need to move on because it's time to make our ice cream sundaes or do something fun like that." And there'd always be one in the crowd that would say, "But wait a minute, you haven't found everyone. You've still left someone out there." What is that important point that child has just learned? That we're there for everyone. We're there to go and find the lost, our friends, our family, our neighbors, those that have wandered away. I mean, it was always an exciting time, but it was an intentional point that I wanted to get through to the children. That it's important to remember everyone. We know what it's like to play peekaboo with young ones. We don't usually as we get older, right? Do we? We scare each other, by sneaking up on somebody saying, bleh, and then they jump out of their skin. But this wonderful expression of being found, even though that small person might know that you're right there on the other side of her fingers. I mean, being found, what does that mean? You know, it's really such a clear point that I think we all understand when looking at this parable. It hits home on a number of unexpected ways for each of us, and especially for myself, no matter how many times I come back to this parable. First thing is, am I that lost sheep? Or am I in the flock, the 99 that are together? Or how do I relate to the good shepherd that comes looking for me? Or am I just the fourth dimension, an observer, to see what's going to happen? Where do you place yourself within this story? The story specifically talks about the nature of God. What does it say about us? Then our relationship with God. And what does it say deeply about our relationship with each other? You think about that. It says something about our relationship with God and with each other in our community, our flock, those people that have wandered. There's many reasons why people wander away from church today. It's not just this community of faith that struggles with that. It's all in the mainline denominations. First, I want to say that this parable strikes at the heart of the value of the value system that we place in life as well. The magnitude of God's mercy, God's forgiveness, and love. So he's asking us in what was read. In verse 4, which one of you, if you had 100 sheep and lost one of them, wouldn't leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that was lost until you find it? Now, there's the concern for the 99 in the wilderness, right? Because there would be wolves, there would be other bears, lions, whatever. Oh my. That concern for the larger flock. But we're tasked with, what would you do about the one? And in today's society, probably that one, well, we don't pay much attention to. Probably just say, it's only 1 out of 100. That's 1%. That one, we can forget about it. Let the wolf that finds it have a good lunch. But is that how we want to deal with people in our lives? That we forget about the one? It's a task that I take seriously each and every day in my daily meditations. And I think Jesus is calling me to do. How to respond to those that have wandered. How to ask them to come back into the fold. You know, our whole lives are based on, a lot of it, the acceptance of numbers and percentage of failure. We start every school year with knowing that there will be X number of students. That universities do this. They know that if they enroll 3,000 students into the first year, they know by the end of the first year there will be whatever percentage now that drops out. We also know that when there's new scouts that join scout troops, they don't want to lose them. There were probably some of the young children that auditioned, that got into the pageant, and they, for other reasons, have had to drop out. It's a fact of life. But what do we do, and how do we go and embrace that one person? That one person that has left us. That lost sheep. The analogy between the sheep and us. I had asked the earlier service, what do you think I like so much about this parable? And one person said, I think you like it because you like sheep. And I said, well, no, not really. I have been once or twice around sheep. First of all, they're smelly. And secondly, they're oily. Have you ever felt true lamb's wool? It's quite oily, the lanolin in it, right? And it smells. It smells. So fortunately, the sheep that will be here for the live nativity will have been washed the night before and maybe even spruced up with some sort of fragrance. When we think about that, what does that mean? As far as we're concerned, sometimes in our lives and in our thinking, it's only one sheep out of 100. But to God, nothing is lost. Nothing at all. This innocent sheep is part of his flock, just as we are. William Barclay writes in a layman's commentary on this biblical scripture that he had followed the story of a young medical doctor who decided after medical school to tour Europe. He was going to do it all by backpack. He was going to not take any of the railway and so forth, which you can do now on a Europass, but he just decided to go and tour Europe. And so this young man did. But a lot of times he got off the beaten track and he got into trouble. And some days he was a bit dehydrated. And this one particular day he passed out by the side of the road. And by the side of the road, some people saw him lying there, looked like half alive, in a ditch. So they picked him up and took him to the local hospital. And in that local hospital, a couple of the doctors looked at him and said, you know, because he looked rather ragged. You know, he had been on the road for weeks. Smelled like he hadn't showered for days. His clothes were quite dirty. One doctor turned to the other and said in Latin, I think it would be a favor if we just let this one go. Now, there's a whole question about the Hippocratic Oath. But the young doctor, and they said it in Latin, you know, the common language, still for physicians. And this young man responded to them out of his dazed state in Latin. He looked at them and said, never call a man worthless for whom Christ has died. Never call a man worthless for whom Christ has died. Think about that when I think of the lost sheep. I also think about that when I think of the flock and what they were doing. Now, as sheep, as a flock, they were just munching away on grass because that's what sheep do. They don't have a collective conscience. They just follow wherever the grass is greener. Even if it's on the other side of the fence, they will try to get to it. But with God, nothing is lost. And that's the first point. And the second one is very close to it as well. That we are all in community with God. That flock. And when one wanders off, we need to be concerned to how to bring them back, using the love of God in our lives. Being lost has to do with our connection to each other. We are all interrelated, whether we think so or not. So that to talk about one who is lost. At the same time, we need to talk about the effect one who is lost has had on others. Those that no longer come here, they're doing other things on Sunday mornings. They've drifted away from the community. I'm not saying they're lost. They're wandering. Maybe we just need to sometimes pick up the phone and call that person that we're concerned about because they're no longer coming to church or no longer involved in the activities here at Kingsway Lambton, to encourage them to come back to the community, to encourage them to become one. Because in this oneness, we experience God. We experience the grace of God. We experience the love of Jesus Christ shown by each one of us for each other. The more intimately that we're connected to another person, the more we agonize when we're separated. The loss, the less we're connected, the less we're affected, as we know. In the essence of the kingdom of God, we are already family. We are already family because of our relationship. It's a family made up by the love of God and the saving grace of Jesus Christ in each one of our lives. And because we belong to the body of Christ, when one is missing, something about us is missing as well. When one of us is missing, something about us is missing as well. I tell you, every time that I did the children's sermon about the lost sheep, and we played that little hide-and-seek game, so they would get the point, the kids got it right. You can't go on with the Sunday school lesson until the last sheep is found and brought back to the fold. And the kingdom of God isn't complete until everyone is safe and secure and accounted for. That's why it's so important for us not to give up on those that have dropped out of the church or drifted away or they've gone astray. It's important for us to reach out as followers of Jesus. One Bible commentator said that sheep tend to nibble themselves lost. They're really not the brightest animal on the planet. Think about it. When they're chewing grass, they're just going to where there's more grass. They run into a fence, they turn. It's like one of those robot vacuums in your house, right? They run into something and they turn. That's who they are. And when they look up and they don't know where they are, they have no idea how to get back to the flock. And it's not because they're particularly rebellious or stubborn or stupid. Well, that's in question by shepherds. Because it's simply their nature. They stray and they do get lost. The good news is that the shepherd comes looking for them. And he searches for them, and when he finds them, he lifts them up, raises them up onto his shoulders, and rejoices that he has found the lost. That's a model we are well to follow, brothers and sisters, in the life and witness of the church. Not to be just content with those that are showing up here on Sunday mornings or going to other churches on Sunday mornings, but as I've already said, to be persistent to reach out to those that don't come here. Share the good news of what you experience in this moment. Your experience of this community of faith may open a door for many.
The parable of the lost sheep speaks to us best when we hear it about those individuals and families we know and love and whom we have, for whatever reason, become disconnected. You know that in your own family. Or maybe it's only in my family where there's disconnection. Just remember this. Each one of them counts. In God, nothing is lost. What's more is that we are family. And as long as they are missing, a part of us is missing as well. Finally, it really doesn't matter what they've done or where they've strayed. All that matters is that we go to whatever lengths are necessary to reach them, to be reconciled to them, and bring them home. Reach out to those that have strayed. Tell them about the love of Jesus from deep within your heart. That may be all that it needs to bring them back to this community or to another community of faith. That's what tradition is. Spreading the good news. Reaching out to others so they can experience Christ through us. The nature of the Good Shepherd is within our tradition. It ought to be the nature of any church that bears Christ's name. Without judgment, but accepting and rejoicing. That the family is together. The family of seekers, of believers, of those who follow the ways of Jesus. Now I'm going to count to 10. I'm going to ask you to get lost. Are you ready? But if I don't come and find you, I'm sure one of the people sitting around you or a friend will be looking for you, reaching out to you, sharing the love they have in their heart for Jesus with you. The lost will always be found in the arms of Jesus. Then we can welcome everyone into our flock, our community. And for that, I say thanks be to God. Amen.